I thank God because of what God has done. And so, as I stand before you, I am not standing as a foreigner or as a stranger to this ministry. As a man that I have, you know, who has served together with so many people who have given their time and their talents and their gifts, that I have given their time and their resources, and knowing that there are a lot of things that need to be done that have not been done yet, and knowing that there's a whole lot of ministry that needs to be done and has not been done yet. And so we are all encouraged to know that God is still creating opportunities for ministry. Praise the name of Jesus. I was just talking to my friend, my brother, Pastor Simon Bevy, when we were coming, and I was saying that what just happened last week gave Christians and the church a ministry that now will continue into perpetuity. Several things happened. Number one, we saw what Supreme Court did last week, isn't it? Anybody needs to be told what they did? No, we all know. They say that the whole entire United States, you can do whatever you want. You can transition, you can untransition. We were talking to the men in New Jersey, if you were there in New Jersey, a few weeks ago, when they had their annual dinner, and I was speaking there, and I was saying that transition used to be a word that means that you are being moved from one situation to another, right? You're kind of moving from one level or to another. And then the Nation newspaper changed that definition and started putting obituaries as transitions. And so now they redefined the word. Now it has been redefined again, because Bruce Jenner has transitioned to Caitlyn Jenner now. Now that is transitioning. So when you are using word transition, don't just say, I am transitioning. It could mean something. It could mean something else that you'd never intended. But now, as they transition, then the Church of Jesus Christ need to be transitioning as well. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Because as the world keeps on changing, and it is changing not for the better, it's changing for the worst. God is giving the church an opportunity to start standing and start fighting. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, the problem is, I don't know whether you read, after that was done, do you know what the headlines the following day said? They said that now the left is now focused on the church. So that the church, because that is the final standing against the gay marriages and all these kind of things, the church is now being targeted. But I thank God, because Jesus said that on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail. Praise the name of Jesus. And for every man and every woman that hears from the Spirit of God, this is no time to panic. Hallelujah. This is no time to panic. It was a time I attended a meeting that was hosted by Pastor Dennis White not too long ago, right here in Washington, D.C. And he was speaking, and he was saying that the problem with the church today is that every voice that comes, it is dampening the spirit of the church. It is causing so many people to start fearing and thinking that now this is the end of the church. And they think that, oh, these people, they are so vocal, they are so powerful, they have now reached every echelon of power, you know, of power and authority, that we have no hope. And then he said, let me tell you, brethren, I stand here before you and declare that the church of Jesus Christ is marching on. And I said, praise the Lord, the church of Jesus Christ is marching on regardless of what they do. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. And I say that this is not the first time that God is seeing all this. This is a movie that he has played before. He has seen it. Amen. So don't expect that all these things that people are passing by, are passing or making, the laws that they are making just to subjugate and to keep on suppressing and oppressing the church and thwarting its progress and causing it to stumble. Don't think that this is the first time it is happening. It has happened all through history. And until today, the Church of Jesus Christ is still standing. Praise the name of Jesus. And I want to encourage you tonight that no matter what you hear, no matter what you see, no matter what you experience, do not be discouraged, because we know how this movie ends. Ah, come on, praise God. We know how this movie ends. We win. Hallelujah. We win. That is what the Bible tells me. And it tells me that it is not going to end here. It may have, people may think that it is starting here. No, it is started up there. And when it came and established, got established here, it is still under the mighty authority of our God. Because the Bible tells me in Ephesians that he subjected all things under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. So whatever they do, the Supreme Court, the potters and the scotters and the frotters and whatever they call them, all of them are under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I am not afraid. Buona sifesana. I did not get too much time to get myself ready for this. And so I said I will stick to the theme. And I just remembered, and I was telling Dr. Kihoro that when he first became president, that very year he became president, I spoke the very first night. And he reminded me, actually it was a Thursday, like tonight. Now I am also privileged to close his presidency. Again. I don't know how that worked. I believe it's the Lord's doing. So, Dr. Kihoro, your work is not done yet. Amen? It isn't done. I'm going to read again from this scripture that we just read just a few minutes ago. And I'm going to expound very briefly, very, very quickly, because I know that we are on time, or we are under the clock. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 1, I'm going to read all the way to verse 7. And this is what the Bible says. And I'd like you to pay attention closely to these verses, because this, I think it is a theme that was put in the heart of the organizers of this conference by God himself. Because I think it is almost like, and I know it is not almost like, it is actually the case that God is seeing what is happening, and he wanted us to hear these particular words for this season that we are living in. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. The theme says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. My version says, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Verse 2, rather, we have renounced. Now I'd like you to keep on noting these words. Renounced secret and shameful ways. Just like it happened last week. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Other versions say we do not tamper with the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. And I would like you to note that word conscience, in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Praise the name of Jesus. I love that scripture. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is this verse 7 through verse 12. But I'm not going to touch on those tonight. My focus is going to be right here on this theme that we are talking about this evening. And Paul here is making a strong declaration with the very first opening of this opening statement here in verse 4. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy, and I like the way Dr. Kihoro put it here, we received this ministry through mercy. We did not pay money for it. Praise the name of Jesus. We did not coerce people, you know, to join the ministry. We did not do anything that is untoward in order for people to be able to join this ministry. But God himself, through his mercy, has made this ministry. Praise the name of Jesus. Because this ministry could not have survived all those years. Hallelujah. It could not have survived all those years without him. It is him. Praise Jesus. You know, one of the things that make people know that something is durable or something is valuable or is of value, it is its longevity. If it is enduring, if it endures, that means that thing being there historically for all those years, that means that something good has been happening. Praise the name of Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be coming here. You wouldn't be joining your ministries at home and all those places every time. And then every year you come here and come and celebrate together with us. God, through his mercy, built the ministry. And it may not necessarily be only this ministry. Any ministry that is preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. Any ministry that is preaching the word of God openly and fearlessly and speaking the truth, you know, according to the word of God. Any ministry that is boasting authenticity, that ministry was built by God through his mercy. So that you and me may be able to use it as a vehicle to transform people's lives, to bring hope to the hopeless world, to bring joy to those who are perishing out without joy, to those who are failing in their lives, that we give hope to the marriages that are breaking apart. God has given that as this ministry through his mercy. And therefore we need to take it as he has put it in our hands. Praise the name of Jesus. It has become, you know, the norm. And Victor Hugo would put it, that it has, you know, some preachers, it has become want of some preachers to coerce, to force, to use showmanship, to display their own, you know, wealth and their own capacity and their capabilities. They have used deceptive ways and means to be able to bring people into the church. And I say that that is not the church of Jesus Christ, because the church of Jesus Christ does not use deceptive means. It does not coerce, praise the name of Jesus. It does not cause people to give up something in order for them to obtain. Because this we have been given freely, praise the name of Jesus, through mercy. And so we are supposed to be in a ministry that administers mercy. It's a gracious ministry. It's a ministry of love, reconciliation, a ministry of affection, a ministry of grace. If you are not able to minister grace, then you must be ministering condemnation. And therefore, tonight, I want to praise God because he has given us a ministry through his mercy. Praise the Lord. Through his mercy, we have received this ministry. And therefore, we do not lose heart. I wanted to focus on that word. The word is discouragement. Discouragement. And many people are going through series of failure in their lives, in their ministry, in their work, in their jobs. Every day you wake up, you just remember something that happened yesterday that was not supposed to happen. Every day you wake up and then you remember something that you are supposed to do and you never did. And you get discouraged. When I walked out there, I received a phone call. And I looked, it was my mom, and I wondered, why is my mom calling me at this time? Usually, People don't call from Kenya at this time, right? So something must have happened. And so I picked up the phone. And she tells me, did you hear about your cousin? Yes. My cousin died a few days ago. We just learned yesterday, actually. And then she tells me, your cousin, now your first cousin, who is the next door neighbor, died today. Another one. Now I have two cousins that are dead. And for a moment, I was standing there, and I heard Dr. Kehoro calling my name, and I was wondering, do I walk down there, or what do I do? And you know, you hear news that break your heart, that discourage you, and you wonder, really, whether you're going to get out of that situation. 8 years ago, we were in this conference. It was a Monday, July 2nd. And we completed our conference, and then we drove back home, only to get home and receive a phone call. My father-in-law has just died. We had a wonderful time during that conference 8 years ago, only to just walk into a heartbreaking news. I can assure you it was shattering. Today, actually 8 years ago today, that's what I'm talking about. But we don't lose heart. Praise the Lord. We do not get discouraged. Because many things that are happening in our lives today, they form a veil before us. And we wonder whether we are going to be able to break free. We look at the things that we have been trying to make. You are in school, you can't make it. You cannot go to school because you don't have money. The IRS, the INS or whatever it is now, I think it is called what? ICE is chasing after you. To ice you up. Now you really need to be de-iced by the Spirit of God. Because you shouldn't be discouraged. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And I want to pray for everyone here who has been iced, that God is going to de-ice you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. We are believing in a God of miracles. A God of power and authority. That everything that happens in our lives does not happen by chance. Come on, praise Jesus. Because scientists will, and I thank God for all the scientists who are here tonight. I know you have come here because you have proven that science proves God is there. You have come here because you have proven that God has proved, no, science have proved what Bible says all along. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. And so I want to tell you, no matter what you hear, know that our God is a God that is able to change circumstances and lives. You will not live in poverty for life. Don't be discouraged. You know, I was brought up in a very poor family. I thank God we are no longer poor. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. But they used to tell us every day that shida haina nini mizizi. In our language, they not remedy. Yani shida haina nini? Problems or poverty has no roots. The roots that poverty has is only which you give. If you allow it to stick on you, it will. You know what Kikuyu call vena, fungi? You know fungi? That is what we call vena in my language. Now, fungi has no roots. But it can grow anywhere. Anywhere. You go and look at your sidings. Utakuta fungi has grown if you have not washed your sidings for a while, right? You leave your deck, you know, unattended, fungi will grow. Anywhere there is a little dampness, fungi will grow. And every time you feel damp, fungi will grow. Vena will grow. Trouble will grow. Poverty will grow. And time has come for you to shake it off. Praise the name of Jesus. And say that poverty has no roots. And as long as you give it a fertile and a damp place, it will grow. It's time for you now to... the very last verse there, you know, that we just read, almost the last verse, I think verse 6. It says that the light shine. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. It's time now for you to get out of the damp places where... with trouble and poverty grows and come out into the sunshine and you will see it disappear. Because the light of God is going to wipe it all away in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So what does he say? We do not lose heart. Do not lose heart when your ministry is going through a hard time. Do not lose heart when nobody is responding to the call, to the message, even though you know that this message has come straight from the mouth of God. Do not lose heart when people are using deceptive means and then they are outwitting or they are doing things that are making their ministries look better or bigger than yours. Do not lose heart, because we know what the psalmist said in Psalm 37. What did he say? He said that I was so taken and I was set aback by the evildoers and the unrighteous, the way they keep on prospering is like they do not even put too much of pressure. They put a lot of pressure, they don't put too much pressure. I confused you. I'm a Kikuyu. I have a problem with R and R. They don't put too much pressure. They probably put a lot of pleasure in it. But they keep on prospering. Even those who do deceptive work in the ministry, they seem like they are catching a lot of the bigger fish. The biggest tithers, they go there. The best people that are respected in the community, they go there. And then you see people who are doing authentic ministry. Nobody is showing up. And then you get discouraged. That is the devil's machinations and schemes. And he wants you to see that your work, when you do it, you know, I was just talking to someone a few days ago, and he echoed some words that one of my uncles told me when Kibaki became the president. And that time, they, you know, every time a new government, now it is now becoming it is becoming tradition in Kenya. A new government comes and then we declare war against corruption. And a few days, you know, things are done. And then the next day, kifagio imekua imezeeka, so he doesn't sweep any clean anymore. And he said, you know, since this government came, our panya roots have been closed. So where we were making all this money, we can't make anymore. So anyone that wants to do legitimate business, he can make, but you're not making as much money as you used to because magendo ways are more profitable. But amefunga sasa. And now I was told that this is exactly what is happening even now when the war on corruption is being touted everywhere. A lot of panya roots are being closed, although many others are being opened at the same time. Unfortunately, probably bigger ones. But now he was saying that anyone who wants to do legitimate business is okay, but they will not make as much money. Now, the problem with the world today is, and even in the world of Christians, is that anyone that wants to do authentic ministry, you have to kangumu. Come on. You really have to really set yourself so that you'll be able to follow that straight and narrow road. And when you're doing that, others are enjoying themselves in a wider road over there, well decked up and beautiful, you know, under a canopy of lights and merimetering and menemene and all that. Beautiful. But you, when you're doing it right, it gets tough. It gets tough. Listen why Paul has refused to be discouraged. That verse 2. And tell me my time so that I don't extend. Where I'm supposed to stop, I'll stop right there. This is what he says. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We have renounced secret and shameful ways. As long as you follow ways that are deceitful, that are shameful, that are ungodly, I want to assure you that discouragement will be your permanent companion. Ministry will be a hard, harsh terrain for you. You will want to serve God, but then it will be rising up within you and telling you that you know who your master is. It will never allow you shameful and deceitful ways. And Paul is saying that we have renounced. We have not just mentioned. We have not just spoken about them. We have not just, we have not just brought light unto them. We have not just revealed them, but we have done what? The word renounce. And you must renounce the things that God calls unworthy. You must renounce the things that God calls unholy. You must renounce the things that God calls unrighteous. You must renounce in your ministry. And the ministry begins with yourself. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, you may think that I'm talking to someone who has a ministry, or maybe leaders of this ministry. I'm not talking only to them. You are a ministry all by yourself. How do you manage yourself? How do you serve yourself? How do you serve yourself to serve others? And before you serve others, you gotta serve yourself. You gotta be strong enough to be able to dish out to somebody else. And so when God has given you a ministry, yourself, and has given you a ministry, your home, and has given you a ministry, your church, and has given you a ministry, that ministry, whatever you call it by name, then God is saying, you must renounce. Deceitful. Deceitful. He says, here he's calling them shameful. Secret, okay, renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. How do you distort the word of God? Recently, we were talking with some people, and I told them that one of the challenges probably the gay rights movement had the first time they read the Bible, probably to counter what God says. They encountered the verse in Romans chapter 1. Is it chapter 1, verse 5? That says that homosexuals and all those will never enter the kingdom of God. And then he says that because of their wickedness, God surrendered them, right? So that they can do whatever they want with whoever and everything. All that is there. Now, you see, they have their own Bible, by the way. It is called the People Bible. So if you have a People Bible, just go and burn it. If you see someone with a people, it's called the People Bible, just go and burn it. One time I started receiving some emails sometimes back. And the emails were coming from a domain called Other Sheep. And you know, did you receive Other Sheep? Yeah, Other Sheep. And then I was wondering, who is this Other Sheep? And so you start reading, and oh my goodness. It used to come from other sheep, not this sheep that belonged to Jesus Christ. It was a man in Uganda. And his name actually is very close to the names of back home from Ukambani. And his name was Patrick Kimindu. And I called my brother Kimindu from this year. I said, do you know this Kimindu? Of course, he never heard of him, but because he's from Uganda. And this man is now he's like the chancellor of a huge organization that now has schools and ministries that are reaching the people with the gospel of inclusion. And the gospel of inclusion has become such a nagging thorn in the flesh in the church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, Bible is quite discriminative, and it's supposed to remain that way. Praise Jesus. And you should not feel ashamed when you say that Bible is exclusive. It's only inclusive if someone is willing to come and renounce. Come on, praise God. It is inclusive in that nature. When you come and sit on these chairs or these seats, we are not going to tell you go. We are not going to kick you out. But you are not part and parcel of that which God has called authentic kingdom of God. And until you renounce, you are excluded. And we may not exclude you physically, but generally you are excluded by the authority of the word of God. And so tonight, I want to remind you, brethren, that no matter what happens, do not let yourselves be sucked in into the inclusive gospel. Because when you get sucked in, everything is permissible. Everything is allowable. Everything is acceptable. Everything is doable. Everything that feels good, does it feel good? Let's do it. That is what the nature of the, you know, of today's world. That's the way things are moving today. If it feels good, if the shoes fit, duende kazi. Bwana asifiwe sana. Now it is up to you to start taking those things. No, everyone is tired. I'll move now to the next thing. The Bible is saying, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. Now, the reason why I told you to mark that word conscience, it is because sometimes when you are speaking, like I was saying before, you speak and people keep on rejecting the word of God. Everywhere you go, nothing really moves forward. And you keep on speaking and you keep on speaking and you keep on speaking and you keep on speaking, and then you get discouraged one day after the other. And one day you find that, why do I even do this ministry? You let go. Nobody comes, nobody shows up, nobody does anything. And whenever, you know, the ministry is out there, people run away. Then, of course, yeah, you need to evaluate yourself. That's right. Maybe it is you. But mostly, I want to tell you that their minds may have rejected the words of God. But as long as you keep on hammering, Paul said that, keep on reminding them. Praise God. Because their conscience is getting it. So he is speaking. He says that we do not only commend ourselves physically to you. We don't come to you just to show ourselves up and tell you that we are still in the ministry. We are still serving God in the Mesopotamia or wherever it is, or Macedonia or Cyprus or wherever. I am coming to you, Corinthians, and telling you that I am coming to appeal to your conscience. Not your mind only. What that still voice within your spirit that God has put inside of you, that hears God when you are asleep, that hears God when you are busy and doing other things, that calls upon God when things are really tight, when you don't want to voice your concerns to God. That conscience is the one that Paul is saying, that we appeal, we commend ourselves to you and to your conscience as well. So that when your mind rejects Christ, your conscience will wake you up. Your conscience will change you. Your conscience will turn you back to God. Your conscience will make you follow Christ. Your conscience will tell you that this is the way, walk ye in it. That conscience. And so tonight, whatever you have set your eye upon in your service to God, I want to encourage you, do not be discouraged when you see as if there is no fruit, as if there is no progress, as if there is no movement. Because you are appealing to something. Because you are sowing a seed, and a seed will never grow in one day. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. So don't be discouraged. Appeal to their conscience. Is it your children that have grown horns instead of ears? They never hear. Every time you speak to them, they turn the other way. A pastor friend of mine, one time she was calling her children, and the child came passing right through, you know, right in front of her. He says, "When I call you, I need you to come." And she stood and looked at her and then still walked away. And I called the kid and I said, that is wrong. You're not supposed to do that, especially to your mother. And not only her, just a mother. This is a pastor. And then, you know, keep on pushing. Those kids, sometimes, you know, they pretend they don't hear. They do. And then you have to become that, like that hyena that was talking to a rock. He says, that rock, even though you pretend you don't hear, I know you have heard. Speak to them. Speak to their conscience no matter what happens. Do not be afraid of them. Come on. Praise the name of Jesus. We used to have trouble here some days past. And the parents would say, "Well, you go and talk to them. Because, you know, when we talk to them, they will..." Let me tell you, The moment you start getting afraid of your children, you lose them. Believe me. And this world, especially here in America, here you spare the rod, spoil the parent. That's the way it goes here. It's not the other way around. And someone says that, you know, that discipline that used to be there long ago is still there. Only that children administer it, not the parent. It's unfortunate. And of course, you know, when we walk here, you find that things change. Because in Kenya, parents, they wear casual and suits and all that kind of thing, and children wear uniforms. You come to this country, children wear casual and all that, and you wear a uniform. Yeah? Then things start changing right there. Then you know who is serving who. And then when we undertake to serve, then, you know, the problem sets in. Now, let me show you something that Paul is saying here concerning that issue. He says that when we commend ourselves, he says that we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded their minds, the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ. And then he says that, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. Now here Paul is saying that, remember, we don't come to you as masters. We do not conduct our ministry as masters. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. We don't order people around. We don't tell people things. Things that you see, you know, I was telling myself the other day, I think I'm going to shut down Facebook. Because some of the things that are coming every day. There was a pastor there who was praying for a pregnant lady seated on the chair with his foot. And then I saw another one that now someone lies on the floor and he jumps on them. He jumps on them. And everybody there, he's dancing and singing. And I say, this is demonic. Even Jesus himself, he went down on his knees to wash the feet of his servant. I mean, of his disciples. He did not lay his foot upon any man. How dare you do that? He says that we do not come to you as masters. We come to you as your servants. But not you. We are not your servants because you are our master. Now, I want you to get that distinction. Although Paul is coming to them as a servant to them, not necessarily to them. He says, for Christ's sake. So you are not our masters. So when you are serving, you're serving as a servant to the people that God has called you, but they are not your masters. Come on, praise Jesus. These are people that you are supposed to give your life for them. And even them, when they receive Jesus Christ, they can die for you too. So we are servants to one another. I know for sure that sometimes I really get into trouble because I say, we have very proud ministers of the gospel. Unfortunately, it is so. And Jesus Christ himself, somebody say that if he would visit one of the churches today, he will be kept outside. He doesn't meet the standard. He doesn't. So, whose master are you? If you are a master, go and repent. You cannot be a master because they, you know, you have heard people say that if you believe in my ministry, let me hear from you. And you know, of course, you know what they're talking about. If you believe in my ministry, poison that we don't preach ourselves. This person is basically preaching themselves, commending themselves in a way that we are the people that you should see, not Christ. But Christ wants you to move out of the way. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Because a lot of unbelievers are there within. And why are they not believing? Because the Bible is saying, we just read there, that because the God of this world has veiled their eyes. And now, well, let me tell you that the tool that the devil is using today is the veil. He does not need to come with blazing guns into your house or into a church. Yes, he just walked in into a church in Charleston, South Carolina the other day. But that's not the way the devil comes. He came that way that day. But that's not usually how he comes. The devil comes with a veil. And the veil, let me tell you, it can be right here. Right here. Where the minister of the gospel is. They don't see. And this is not the old times when only the priest would get into behind the Holy of Holies. No. This time, you are supposed to open the Holy of Holies. Amen? Remove the veil. That's the reason why Jesus died. When he died, the Bible says that the veil of the temple, it broke from top to bottom into two so that you can present yourself to God yourself. Come on, praise Jesus. And so as I conclude, I want you to ask yourself, whose master are you? Because as soon as you become a master, you set yourself for failure and discouragement. And you will say that this ministry the Lord gave me, I can't do it anymore. I have lost heart. I am now giving up. Pastors, I was told that I don't know these statistics, but I believe they probably are true, that almost every day 1,500 pastors leave the pulpit. They can't continue. They get discouraged. Whose master are you? And who is your master? That should be the question. Then he says, but we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Do you think that he was just putting that word there just to fill in the scripture? We are jars of clay. You are just an earthen vessel. Of course, and then he qualifies us and he says that in the house of God, there are different vessels. Some are of gold, others are silver, others are clay, others are wood. I don't know what kind of a vessel you are. You start from the earthen clay. And then he qualifies you, molding you, and you become golden. Praise the name of Jesus. And so as you serve the Lord, how do you present yourself to God? Do you present yourself to God as the content or as the container? Are you the content or are you the container? I wish that we come as vessels, as containers empty. A speaker came to us two weeks ago and he says that the presence of God is in such a manner that every time he comes, he fills the container that is available. And as long as that container is not full, he keeps on filling. As soon as it is full, then he moves on. There are people who come, that's what he said, and every time they are full. And so the presence of God comes to fill him and finds no space and then moves on. This person is filled not with the presence, not with the spirit of God, but other stuff that are garbage and are shameful. And issues that Paul is saying that we need to renounce. So as we continue in this conference, brethren, I pray that we will ask ourselves these questions. What is it that is discouraging you that you are not able to continue with your ministry? Ask yourself, how do you commend yourself to others who you are serving in the ministry? Number three, ask yourself, are you a servant or you are a master? And if you are a servant, then who is your master? And number three, Are you a container or you are the content? That is the question. Let's all stand up. We're going to pray.